This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Your wedding will be one of the happiest days of your life. And Blue Nile can help you celebrate it with a gift that'll last a lifetime. Whether you're looking for wedding bands, a gift for your partner, or an unforgettable thank you to your bridesmaids, Blue Nile offers a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Plus, expert guidance to ensure you find the perfect piece. Experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999, at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Fangirls Podcast, a place for fun, fandoms, friendship, and most importantly, fangirling. I'm Julie, and buckle up, dearest gentle reader, because today we are talking all about Bridgerton Season 3, Part 2. And when I say we, I mean me and our lovely correspondent, Miss China. Welcome back, friend.
Hello.
This was a fun season.
It's a good time.
I loved it. And while I realized later on that there were a lot of scenes cut in post that were spicy. Yeah.
Release them. Just drop them.
Just drop them. Editor's cut?
Yeah, we can do an editor's cut. I'm down with a compilation episode. Like, I'm in. Where's the Bridgerton Shondraland TikTok? Like,
yeah.
Just drop it. Come on.
The big question is, did you prefer part one or part two?
I don't know. Okay, so I was sitting with that question like all day today. And like the thing about this season, when this is like my hot take of it, is this season like didn't feel like a like Bridgerton one or two, like season one or season two. It didn't feel like that. I was talking to someone about it earlier today and she was just like, I feel like I'm not, oh my God, I need to see the next episode. Like I feel kind of like they're like, oh, it's just going really slow. Or people feel like this just happened out of nowhere and now it's going way too fast. This has been a slow burn since season one.
Right.
Okay. It's not coming out of nowhere. It's not random. It's not just like, oh, boom, now they're getting married. Boom, they're engaged. Boom, they're having, you know, the mirror scene. He's low-key loved her without actually admitting it since season one. Because obviously it's not like a Duke and Daphne, I burn for you moment. It's not right. Like a Kate and Anthony, like object of my desires, bane of my existence moment. It's not any of that. It's very subtle. You obviously haven't had a friends to lover situation in your life.
You know?
You just out here dating like random people. That's weird.
You've never been put in the friend zone and hoped for like friends to lover situation. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What?
But that's my hot take on the season. But I honestly don't know about part one and part two, like which one's my favorite, because I feel like both of them did great things. I wish we didn't have to wait for part one and part two. Like I need to binge all of that.
Yeah.
Okay. How dare you end part one that way? Yeah, no, I don't think I have favorite. I think I do love both of them for both reasons. What about you?
I feel like I prefer part one more just for the music alone.
Oh, fair. Fair.
And while I love the Taylor Swift rendition at their wedding.
Yeah.
And Demi Lovato's Confident instrumental.
Yes.
In part two, I was like, oh, this is so good. Oh.
Yes.
But those were the only two that stood out. But I feel like Pitbull's cover stole the show in part one.
Mr. Worldwide.
Yes.
Colin Bridgerton, Mr. Worldwide. My sister and I watched both part one and part two together. Mm-hmm. Part two, we did watch back home and my mom was in the room for her.
Oh, I'm here for this Evelyn commentary.
Oh my God. Evelyn's commentary it could be a whole episode. Okay. My mom has seen Bridgerton season one, season two, but she watched it by herself. As mothers should. So she never really watched it with us, right? And so that mirror scene's pretty quick, right? In part two, or episode five happens, and then that mirror scene happens. Evelyn was just like, ah, you looking? My sister is 23, and she looked at my sister like, should you be watching this? It's like, she's 23 and lives with her boyfriend, mom. Okay.
Well, I'm ready for some tea. Are you ready for some tea?
Always.
All right. This is the part of the show where we spill the tea. This means spoilers. So if you have been living under a rock and haven't watched season 3, part 2 of Bridgerton, we're about to spoil it for you. Serious question time, my friend. What was your favorite episode from part two?
The wedding episode, mostly because I
Oh.
love wedding episodes of like every show. It takes the characters out of the normal situation, and like you see everyone dressed up and it's cute. And like, especially this wedding, like there was so much to this wedding. And then the queen showed up and did the whole, if you're not a Bridgerton, like get out. It's like,
So
okay.
it was the wedding breakfast too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So I was torn between 5 and 8. 5, we see the buildup from season 1 and season 2 finally happen. They're together, they profess their love, the mirror scene happens, Penn gets her dude, and I'm so happy
Right.
for her, right?
Facts.
But the finale, I just thought was done so beautifully.
Oh, yeah.
The ballroom scene with the butterflies being revealed.
So cute.
And so book readers know this. There was a lot of butterfly symbolism throughout the season. And that is the nod to Lady Whistledown and
Okay.
Penelope, because she compares herself in the books as a butterfly who floats around the tawn to get her gossip.
Oh, okay.
So to see butterflies released as she makes the announcement that she's Lady Whistledown, I just thought was super poetic. And I was like, oh, this is beautiful. And like her sisters are like beautifully dumb. And she's like, release the bugs. And I was
Release
like, and I
the
wasn't expecting butterflies, but I was like, oh, this is so beautiful.
bugs. It was cute. It was cute, sister moment too. She's like, you know, she's just standing there. Penelope's standing there, like, okay, now what? Like everyone's talking about it, and the big sister moment. Let's just distract everybody, and like runs across the stage, and she's like, release the bugs. I was like, what kind of bugs is she about to
I
release?
know, and I'm like
Like,
so grossed out. But my immediate thought is like roaches, nasty things, creepy
yes.
crawlies. And I'm like, not a fan. But oh, Prudence's reaction was like, why did you call them bugs? And she's like, see, bugs, da da da.
So
Just,
cute.
yeah, left brain, right brain. You just see both hemispheres come together and say, oh, this was genius. Okay.
Yeah, it was cute.
The reason why I chose those episodes was I was heartsick the rest of the season in between episode 5 and 8. To see her so stressed and not enjoy her engagement or really her wedding.
Facts. She fainted at
Oh,
her engagement party. Like,
right. And
come on, let her enjoy her moment, please. Thank you.
what looks like she's having a panic attack. That's what it came off as when in the book she was actually pregnant.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
I know. Okay.
Which makes sense at the end of the season, but
Yeah.
is not relayed whatsoever. But point being, Episode 5 and 8 were my favorite episodes. Okay, what was your favorite pollen moment? And when I say pollen, I mean I'm shipping them as Penelope and Colin. So what was your favorite pollen moment?
Oh, this moment, you should see my sister and I. Like, we full on snap fingers, like, hell yeah. Like, absolutely, Colin. It was when Colin stood up to Lady Featherington.
Yes! Okay.
Bro, he
So
came in
hot.
hot. He came hot, and like, he basically was like, how dare you talk to my lady this way? And when he was like, before you sully our Bridgerton name, and looked at Penelope when he did that, I was like, he said our name. He said, that's my lady. That's my wife. That's a Bridgerton. Do not
Yeah.
talk about us like that. Oh, Colin, the way Colin stood up for her, Lady Featherington and everyone is so horrible to Penn. To
Yeah.
like have Colin stand for her and be like, how dare you? I love this woman and I do not come for her. I'm like, love me some Colin.
Oh,
Thank
yes.
you.
Okay,
Thank
so I'm
you.
right there with you. You want to know how it plays out in the book?
Yes.
Okay, so there's technically a fourth Featherington sister. Her name's
What?
Felicity.
What? They just
Yeah.
cut out a whole person?
They
Okay.
just cut out a whole person
Older,
and
younger?
younger.
Younger than Penelope?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And the mom has completely written off Penelope as someone worth marrying and
Rude.
keeps pushing the younger sister on Colin. Because he
Oh.
comes to, oh, you have a visitor, or what do they say? A suitor has arrived or
Oh,
whatever.
yeah.
Yeah. And Lady Featherington assumes it's for Felicity.
Oh.
And Penelope's like, I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, that's
And
my man.
Lady Featherington, not knowing what had happened the night before, as far as like Colin proclaiming her love and being engaged and all that fun stuff, he was like, Lady Featherington, I'm here for your daughter. She's over here like, yes, Felicity. And he was like, no, Penelope. I think you mean Felicity. And she keeps like, Felicity, go get your watercolors and show Colin how talented you are. And, you know, Penelope's starting to say, no, Mama, he's referring to me. And she's like, but he's not. And Colin's like, but I am. He gets so in her face about it as far as, and proclaims his love to Penelope in front of Lady Featherington about how much and why. And this goes on this grandstand. And I was like, okay, so how are they going to recover with Felicity not having in the picture? Because this was the sister that she was most close to also.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So the younger sister was also like, I really don't think he's talking about me, Mom, at all. It's not me. And this was her debut season. So she's like, but you could be the diamond. You could get with the Bridgerton. She's like, it's not me, Mom. Take a hint.
Yeah, Prax, like, you're not getting it, Mom. Leave the room.
That being said, on to the next Bridgerton. What was your favorite John and Francesca moment?
I love the muddy boots story moment.
Oh, okay.
Like, she's like, tell them the funny story. And he's just like, obviously so uncomfortable and so awkward that he doesn't know how to do it the first time. And everyone's like, what is happening with this person? Like, why are you being so weird? And then when he like tries again the second time, like he's still pretty awkward. He does get through it. But the way Lady Bridgerton like is looking at her daughter and like Francesca just is staring at him. Like, damn, that's my man.
I know.
Like, she's just so in love with him and just he's being so awkward and uncomfortable, but she's just so proud that he's saying it and so proud that he's trying to be involved. It's like, oh, they're so cute.
They are.
What about you? What's your favorite?
I thought it was so cute how they were debating how to tell her family that they were engaged. Because all you see is Benedict, Hyacinth, and Gregory. They're fighting over cookies. And then Eloise is, you know, doing cross stitch. Everybody's talking and talking over each other. And he was like, I could say I'm on fire and nobody's going to turn this way. She was like, oh, don't be ridiculous. Like, just do something to get their attention. It's fine. And he says, I am literally on fire, new family. And he says something obnoxious to get their attention and it doesn't work. So she stands up and says, family, huzzah, and gets their attention. And then that's how they announce their engagement. I love their love story in that it is quiet and reserved and really expand on the fact that they don't need pomp and circumstance around their love story, or at least not yet.
Facts.
Like, wait for her story.
Exactly. Yeah. And I love that they're just two people who really understand the quiet of love and like the quiet of each other. But also they're kind of pushing each other to be like, no, like I have a huge family. Like you kind of have to be a little loud and like be aggressive, like go hang out with them. Right. And like, so he like goes and has drinks with the guys and stuff, which I think was really cute. And I'm like, oh, look at him being a little bro. Like he's having a little bro moment. Or when they at the ball and he was like, oh, should we dance? And she's like, I didn't think you were the dancing type. And he's like, I think we should be bold. As a couple, they're choosing to love who each other are, but they're like, you know what? I have you and you have me, let's be bold together, let's do things together. I'm like, oh, that's so cute. It's so different from all the other romances.
There were some characters that hit some nerves this season.
Oh my god, yes.
Who are we most infuriated with?
Cressida is my answer. Okay. She's gotta go. Like, I'm sorry, she's gotta go. I wasn't even mad. Like when they're trying to like send her away the country, I was like, yes, please, like get her out of here. We do not need this energy. She's a lot. And I understand, right? Her having to like marry that super old guy, everything that he wanted her to like give up, and like he wouldn't even let her wear color. That's so weird. So I understand her. She's like desperately trying to find a way out of her situation.
Right.
But girl, come on. This is the plan you pick? In all of the downfall, she just like seems so like, oh, I'm the victim, like blah, blah. I'm like, girl, what did you think was going to happen? The queen was after Lady Whistledown. The queen put like a whole summons out for a reward and everything. And you thought, it's fine. I'm just going to come out as Lady Whistledown. Everyone will be fine. I won't have to marry him. No, you're going to have to go in front of the queen. And then her mom also getting involved. And, oh, your whole family is doing the most.
Right.
Doing the most.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's got to go.
I was so glad that Penn revealed that she was Lady Whistledown. So Cressida could not capitalize off of her. Just her having the audacity to double down and double the payment after Colin went and said, hey, you're not this person. I know you can be a good human. My sister saw it in you. And you know what? If I can accept Penelope, I think this is the other grandstand that Colin did in terms of, if I can love this woman after the horrible things that she wrote about me and my family, I'm sure you can find forgiveness too. And she was like, nah, I'm going to have you double that ransom, sir, because you just made me that much more angry that this individual has, you know, a husband now.
Yeah.
Like, she was so bitter, bro, that she didn't get the guy at the end. And not saying Colin Bridgerton was her ideal guy, but she can't not be in high society in her mind to just commit to just being the bad guy at that point. And I was just like, yep, I'm over it.
Take her to the country. I'm out.
Yep. I get it was a different time for women too, where you have no say in quite possibly any marriage prospects. So I probably would have gone that route too, in terms of like, I'm Lady Whistledown, pick me right here. Yep.
Facts.
That's it. I will figure it out. But like, I love how everybody was like, bro, you aren't smart enough. There's no way. Including her parents.
Her parents were like, this is not real, obviously.
My villain that I'm incredibly over was Lady Cowper and her having the audacity to write that issue. I don't know. It reminds me of the college scandal with the celebrities who paid for their kids to go to the Ivy League schools.
Good comparison. Yeah.
Right? That's what it's giving right now. I was like, you have zero faith in your kid. And while Cressida gave you an intro paragraph, you could have helped her along the way. True. You could have, no, you just said, give me that, I'll do it better. What are you teaching your kid? No. But Lady Cowper, I'm not a fan. You got to go to the countryside with your daughter too. Off my planet. What was the biggest plot twist?
Here is where I screamed. And the fact that Lady Bridgerton knew the whole time about her dad and Lady Danbury. I screamed. And then when they like panned back to the crown in the background, I'm like, oh my God, she knew the whole time. Cause like part of me didn't like the whole Lady Danbury, her dad part, because it kind of like muddied the friendship between the two of them. And I love the friendship between the two of them. I'm like, God, when's she going to find out? Like, who's going to use it against her? Are they going to have a fight? Like, I don't want them to fight because I love them together. And then when they like had that moment and she just was like, do you know? And she's like, I know my dad was a good man and you're a good friend and it's all I need to know. And I'm like, yes. Thank you so much for not like dragging this out and being like a whole conflict thing where they're at odds or whatever. Like, bro, who cares? It was forever ago and it's fine. But I screamed. Like, I was like, oh my God, she knew the whole time. And then like the crown too. I was like, she has the crown just chilling in her living room. Just obviously means so much to her. But yeah, no, screamed. For sure screamed. What about you? What was your plot twist?
So I didn't realize it was a plot twist till after the fact.
Okay.
Maybe a couple hours after I had finished the season, but the Francesca storyline. So for those of you who don't know, John and Francesca leave to their estate. They have a couple kids together. And then I guess John tragically passes away in a house fire. But when they get to the family estate, after John passes away, Francesca meets one of his cousins, who is named Michael. And I guess the Easter egg that was snuck in into the finale was John introduced his cousin, Michaela. So Francesca's storyline is going to be leaning more towards the LGBTQ plus idea. And I didn't realize she was getting flustered or hot and bothered because she was attracted to Michaela. I just thought she stumbled on her words and was like, oh, what? I didn't know you had a cousin here. Why is I'm just meeting her now? And it went right over my head.
Oh,
I did not
put
two and two together that they were gender bending Michael for Michaela. But I'm here for it. We'll see how it plays out. But because as we know, it was revealed in the season finale, Benedict's storyline will be the storyline for season 4, which I am excited for. Benedict is my boy. I'm a Benedict girly. I've seen every typecast request for Sophie. And I have zero suggestions because I think all and everything would be perfect.
Yeah. Whoever is running that casting department, you are flawless. Like, you've killed it every single time.
Yeah.
And also, this is my biggest thing with like movies and films or whatever. It's like, not only that, maybe there's not like a chemistry between the characters, but when the families don't look like they could be family.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bridgertons, yo, Y'all might need to do like a ancestry.com because you guys are for sure related. Like all of them look so similar. And like in a way that's like Daphne and Francesca look like they are very similar, but then you add in like Anthony and Benedict look like they could be like related.
Eloise and her dad.
You guys have to be related. Like 23andMe this, y'all, because the Bridgerton casting, killing it. Killing it. So I don't care what you guys do. I put my full faith in the Bridgerton casting department.
And now it is time for the spotlight of the week. Looking for a quick and honest review on an upcoming movie? Check out Parking Lot Reviews, where our lovely correspondent, Miss China, gives her hot take on a variety of movies the moment she leaves the theater. Follow Parking Lot Reviews on TikTok and Instagram at Parking Lot Reviews. The Fangirls Podcast is brought to you by Believe Podcast Network, and we want to thank you for listening to our podcast. Be sure to tune in every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts for a new, fun, fandom episode of the Fangirls Podcast. We here at the Fangirls Podcast are not affiliated with the following: Netflix, Shondaland, Julia Quinn, her publishing house, or any of the casting or any of the cast that we mentioned today. We're just really big fans.
And we're down if you want to be friends. I'm just
saying.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.